Manx Radio's 2016 election coverage.
So this hour of the programme, as we continue our coverage ahead of the House of Keys general election, we have the first of three election candidate interviews. We're joined by Daphne Kane, who's announced she'll be contesting the election in the now two-seat constituency of Garth. And good afternoon, Daphne. Welcome to the programme.
Faster Mai,
thanks for popping in. Quite late coming to this. What changed your mind to make a decision to stand?
I felt that there wasn't somebody standing in my constituency who truly represented all the things that I feel about it. Also, I had a very close friend who was considering standing, and I was going to support her. For various reasons, she decided not to stand, so she's supporting me. And that was the clincher when I received permission to stand, being a serving civil servant. I decided I would go for it, and mainly because at the moment, while the Isle of Man has done really well to steer its way through some pretty straitened circumstances for the last few years, we have two huge things looming ahead of us that represent significant challenges, probably, to the Isle of Man. And I hope to play a part in making sure the Isle of Man continues to thrive and see our best way forward despite all the icebergs ahead of us.
As far as you are a civil servant, do you think that will make it easier for you if you are elected an MHK?
Well, I do understand the workings of government, and I have been a budget holder for most of the 20 years I've served in various departments. So I do know the system and the processes and what works and what doesn't work. So a little bit about politics, but obviously I've always been behind the scenes. I've not been one to express my own opinions before, because that's not what it's about.
Do you find that hard, expressing your own opinions?
No, I'm very opinionated, but not in public.
Okay, you mentioned that we've got icebergs ahead in this. I think in your literature you say we are teetering on a precipice.
I feel so. The most significant event that's happened recently was when the UK voted in the referendum to leave the EU. Mm-hmm. So post-Brexit, the vote, that's a significant thing for the Isle of Man. And I just think that we need to join forces with Jersey and Guernsey and ensure that the Isle of Man is having the conversations with Westminster to say what we are going to do. We want to be part of the conversation. We want to influence that conversation. We want to get the best possible deal for the Isle of Man to replace Protocol 3 and the agreement for trade, for agriculture and industry. And it's just there's too much at stake. And alongside the uncertainty over post-Brexit, that could take 2 years, they're talking about, before anything comes in. And meanwhile, after the Isle of Man has spent so many years recovering from the VAT clawback that the UK did, and so many departments having such a squeeze, we now, despite all the changes and the civil servants currently contributing more to their pension for less, there is still looming ahead of us a time when reserves are going to run out and the public sector pension is going to have, around 2021, the possibility of £63 million a year shortfall. And unless we can generate more income and grow the economy to fill some of that shortfall, we are not going to be in a very happy place in 5 years' time.
Would, if you'd have had the vote, would have you been for Brexit, or would you have been Remain?
Remain.
For what reason?
Very definitely. Because of all the benefits it brings us for trade, for travel. I don't think it's going to be a catastrophe. I was very interested to hear the economist Ruth Lee in a newspaper review at the weekend insisting that it wasn't desperate by any means. And currently there's a massive amount of staycation with people not travelling this summer because suddenly airports are having currency exchange for £1 for €1. And she's saying this is a blip. That's the industry and the trade and the economic activity that's going on. It's not a disaster post-Brexit. But until the three ministers charged by Theresa May to get on with it and trigger the Article 50 that's going to sort out how they leave Europe. And if that does take 2 years, we need to be part of that conversation. And hopefully, from the Isle of Man's perspective, joining forces with the Channel Islands, we can find a really good way forward for the Isle of Man.
The trouble being that there seems to be a present this malaise of it's going to be 2 years before we actually put the note in that we want to leave. There's going to be malaise after that, isn't there? There's going to be a couple of years while things sort themselves out.
I'd say 5 or 10 years. I don't think it's going to be a quick thing at all, but I do think that we need to be part of the conversation every step of the way. I don't know. I don't think that's a huge issue to a lot of the electorate. I think people generally say, oh, I don't know about politics, but that's why you elect someone to sort that out for you. And I think that the Isle of Man has had a true statesman in Alan Bell in recent times when he's been our representative attending the anti-money corruption summit recently, getting applause for taking on John Kerry and pointing out that the Isle of Man is actually a very clean jurisdiction and abides by everything that, I mean, some businesses would say even too much to enable us to do business. And he has attended other seminars and constantly liaising with British Irish Council and also in Westminster. And I think that however good the civil servants are, and I know that there are some really good civil servants with a huge understanding of what's going on, it all boils down to personal relationships. And the strength has been Alan Bell's presence on the world stage, and I think the Isle of Man is really fortunate to have had him.
Do you think we and the Channel Islands, Pulavenis together, should open big, big dialogue with the rest of the EU countries?
I wouldn't say so yet, because at the moment we're governed through Protocol 3 as crown dependencies of the UK. So I shouldn't think that Europe wants to deal with us. They'll be wanting to deal with the UK, because until they trigger that leaving process, we are still perfectly able to trade under the current arrangements. Yep.
As far as you mentioned that sometimes people aren't interested in politics, what are people interested in when you go around and knock doors?
Well, interestingly for me, obviously there's a whole swathe of Groudal and Housestrake, part of Onchan, that's come into Garth to, I suppose, even up the numbers who are voting in each constituency. And I was really surprised how angry people are about the inequality in the rates, for instance. Now, I'm somebody who did send a submission into the Boundary Review Commission, who was looking at some people having a single vote, 2 seats or 3 seat constituencies. So I'm really pleased that we have an even number of votes each. The issue for the people who are in Onchan rather than Garth is, one, getting round everybody, but they've had they have higher rates. So some were a bit surprised to find themselves in Garth, but mainly they were angry they had higher rates, and then they're demanding, why can't we pay Garth rates? And I think the Garth initiative has really led the way. It's 3 separate parish authorities that have come together. They didn't lose their parish identity, but for the benefit of the whole community, they are working together as a single local authority. And the issue I have with so many 22 different local authorities, that so many of the small ones, it's a huge cost on the central administration to keep them all operating. And in fact, if there could be some kind of grassroots level coming together following the Garth initiative, because now the legal framework is in place and it shouldn't be too hard to replicate, that would really benefit the Isle of Man in terms of reducing costs.
And you're in favour of the all-island rate, having read your website?
Well, having seen the difference, the Isle of Man is too small to have 100 different levels of rates. We were warned when the Garth initiative was happening that the rural parishes would probably have a slight adjustment of an increase in their rates to balance out across the whole new Garth constituency, the parish area, the local authority area. But I take that on the chin. I think that's a positive thing, that we are all even and we're all contributing equally to the local authority. I think I'd like to see true local authority reform alongside an all-island rate, but likewise alongside true powers being devolved to those local authorities so that they have the responsibility for running their local area in a meaningful way, and so that people can take up the local issues with their local authority and allow the national politicians to get on with governing and dealing with the national issues.
As far as, once again, your statements that you've made, I think from having read the others, you're about the only one that is looking to recruit teachers.
I think
for what reason?
I don't want to recruit teachers.
Okay.
I'm not a world expert in education, but the one thing I do is listen to people, and I'm listening to all different parts of the community, and that's from teachers and from farmers and professional people and everybody in between, and mums. Obviously, we all want the best education system for our children, and appreciating the £200 million that was reduced of the island's budget, there were some horrible decisions to be taken, and that involved taking away the provision of preschool education, which I think was one of the biggest mistakes of the past administration, and hopefully we'll see reinstated, because early years education is arguably the most critical in a child's life. And the difference between the haves and the have-nots is that the haves will carry on and everything will be fine, and that their parents will pay for their preschool education, and the have-nots will arrive in reception behind, and then there'll be a bigger gap as they move up the school, and by secondary school they will never catch up. So it's really critical for the poorest in society to have that level of investment preschool. Now, the other end is the student grants, but I don't think anybody took the decision lightly to say, oh, we're going to take these away. But talking to teachers, I'm hearing that actually the biggest problem isn't the actual teaching, it's recruitment of teachers. The secondary teachers, I believe, no longer need a work permit, but their partners, their married partners don't, but their unmarried partners do, and that's lost one or two teachers. The uncertainty over the pension arrangements has lost teachers. The Isle of Man has quite an ageing amount of teachers in sort of senior jobs. And with the uncertainty over pension arrangements, with the difficulty of recruiting teachers of certain age to come over here, because if their children are within 4 years of going to university, they're not going to qualify for the Isle of Man Student Awards, and they'll no longer qualify for student grants, so they won't be coming even if they wanted to come to the Isle of Man. So it's just flagging it up that there could be trouble ahead, and we don't want to get to a crisis point where we don't recruit the best teachers for our schools, because that's something that's going to affect the whole of society.
The pension fund is the one that's hanging over every constituency. How are you going to solve it?
I'm not personally going to solve it. I mean, I would say we do need some really good analytical brains coming into the House of Keys. We need accountants, we need legal minds, but we also need creative thinkers and innovators, and to look at solutions and, horrible phrase, think outside the box and maybe brainstorm and come up with solutions. There's been a huge amount done to get where we are now, and I think there must have been some pretty good creative thinkers working in Treasury in the 90s, because we had a reserve fund set up, and into that reserve fund went many millions that have managed to bail out the shortfall on the pension payments for the last several years. Now, at the moment, they're predicting that the reserves are going to run out in 2020-2021. And when that happens, they estimate that the shortfall on pensions, the amount paid in to the amount going out to current pensioners of the public sector pension, will be £63 million. Now, £63 million in terms of the Isle of Man's budgeting is a huge amount. And if we get to 2021 and we haven't managed to grow the economy, that is going to be taken from funds that would otherwise fund public services. And then you're going to have real anger. And there are no easy answers. So we have to focus on getting our negotiations right with the UK, with the British Irish Council, with the Channel Islands, post-Brexit negotiations and how we trade in the future. But also we have to look at the Isle of Man and say, we need to generate more income. We need to encourage business. We need to support business. We need to listen to business, actually. We need to make sure that we listen to what they're saying in terms of how we can help them do more business. And it doesn't all have to be new business. We keep hearing, oh, we need technology. Yes, nanotechnology or clean technology, great, if we can generate them to come here. But we can also develop and expand the sectors that we already have and do really well. For instance, tourism. Tourism, I think, is currently running at 5% of GDP that it generates. We could have even more, and it's a brilliant industry for the Isle of Man because people come, the spend trickles down over lots and lots of different sectors. We have the perfect product here. We have the heritage. We have an amazing, wonderful transport heritage network of trains, trams and horse trams, which we now know will continue for a couple of years. We have beautiful countryside. We have walking. We have all the coastal pursuits and wildlife watching. And the icing on the cake, we've now got this award of recognition of the Isle of Man being named or given biosphere status. And I just think more can be made of that to say, to expand tourism even further. And I know lots of people are working very hard across the Department of Economic Development in tourism, in heritage and in heritage railways to ensure that the island's message gets out there. But we could do with expanding what we have and finding out how we generate even more income in those established sectors.
Can tourism, if you say, let's put some money into tourism, can that generate the funds that we are actually thinking of?
I'm not saying put money into tourism.
Okay.
It might be putting some form. I think a while ago there were grants available for people converting rural buildings into tourist accommodation and that sort of thing. That might be looked at again, but there are more ways to raise the profile. I think it was... oh, it might have even been 1960s or 70s, the wonderful Clifford Irving, who actually was still in Legislative Council when I started reporting on politics here. Clifford Irving had this brainwave before the days of internet and mass media or PR or any of that. And he put out word that there was, I think it was a £10,000 prize for the first person to get a photograph of the Manx mermaid. And this captured huge amounts of imagination. They had oodles of publicity from it, and the Isle of Man did really well.
So publicity is the thing. So this is outreach from the Isle of Man towards, I'm assuming, the UK.
Mainly the UK, yeah. Because Isle of Man, Ireland and UK are the nearest ones, and Scotland. We have England, Scotland. There are some traffic. It all depends on easy transport links. The steam packet, I know people are constantly saying the Isle of Man is an expensive place to get to. It isn't anymore. We have low-cost airlines. If you book early, you can get really good deals on just about all the airlines and certainly on the steam packet. And the accommodation here is a very high level because it's all registered and it all has to be registered, unlike parts of the UK. And it's a good standard. So the other huge selling point that the Isle of Man has is that it's a beautiful, secure holiday destination. And there are the film industry, when we had it, when it was thriving, and a different film every sort of two a year, three a year, that did wonders for the Isle of Man's profile, particularly Waking Ned. And I was working at tourism at the time, and I remember the hordes of Americans that came to visit on the back of seeing Waking Ned. Ireland also got loads of those visitors because they didn't reach the end of the credits and see it was the Isle of Man. But we picked up the American market that year more than doubled. I think it tripled, actually. It was noticeably huge amounts of visitors as a result of one film. And I think it's a shame, and maybe we could renegotiate doing more films here.
Other than at Pinewood.
Other than at Pinewood, because when they're here on location and there's a great advantage for having the film here and spending lots of money in all those areas you want, particularly out of season, but also it does show off the Isle of Man's natural beauty.
As far as business is concerned, you're going to have to grow business to bring revenue in. Your comment on your webpage says light regulation. What does that mean?
The government has to have a light touch. You can't bind up people in huge amounts of red tape, because one, they won't want to come here for business, and it won't be good for business. The Isle of Man has achieved what it has done on being very responsive to business and very accessible. In fact, if somebody's thinking of doing business here, they get in to see the Department of Economic Development, and they get to see the minister, and they get to see the chief minister, and everything that could possibly facilitate new business getting to the Isle of Man will be done within reason. And we need to continue light touch and being responsive and being open and having the conversation. But I think mainly government needs to listen to business. I think business, whether it's commercial sort of shops or industries, they know what they need and they know how to grow their businesses. So if government listened a bit more, then perhaps we can all grow the business together.
Does that include planners making it a little bit easy for business on the island?
Perhaps. I mean, I'd like, with the devolving of powers to the local authorities, if they could be reformed, I'd like to see first stage planning completely taken away from the centre. I don't think that we need to have planning committee go through everything unless it's objected to on appeal or maybe a large scale development. And that might speed things up.
Efficiency is required in the health service. Presumably that's sort of this all too often subject of middle management.
I don't know if it's middle management or that. I mean, let's first say we have a wonderful health service on the Isle of Man. I've had occasion to experience that service for myself, for my children, over many years and frequently. In fact, I think we've been famously twice in a week to A&E this summer with my children. But yes, the point of delivery is great, but it's an unwieldy thing. I think that there has to be efficiencies, because health services is the biggest swallower of our budget. And if we can make small efficiencies, yes, in management rather than frontline services, of course it would benefit everything, because we'd have more available funds to go everywhere else. And I've talked quite a lot to some healthcare professionals, and I'll be putting a lot more in my manifesto.
As far as, I think you're the only candidate I've noticed who is suggesting the use of water meters.
This came from a lady I visited in Onchan, and she was fuming. She's 85 years old. She's just had a rate demand because she's late payment. And she said, I want them to take me to prison for refusing to pay, because it's so desperately awful that I haven't got the ability, because I'm a single person, to install a water meter and get a reduced rate. And it's not fair. It's right, it's not fair. And also, why should her water rate be more than the total of my entire rate for living in the same constituency?
Is housing a problem in Garth?
Not a problem, I suppose, for some. It's quite expensive, some of it. But I've had somebody complaining to me that there's no single property, local authority housing, single person. So you have somebody in a larger property who can't move out because they want to stay in their local area in their old age, and that therefore there aren't, say, family houses for families who would need them.
Police funding?
I think it should stay as it is.
They're doing a good job?
More, I think the police have done an amazing job. They've a 30-year, lowest crime rate 30 years. They are fully engaged with the community. They are hugely respected, and we should listen to the Chief Constable when he says this is as low as it can go. And there are now cases of historic sex abuse coming forward, which is great that people have the confidence to go to the police, but they need to take officers off other investigations to do that. Then we need to start saying there's an issue with drugs or with other investigations, then we want the police to have the resources they need.
Still keep the bobby on the street. Yes?
That's an old-fashioned view of policing. I think we should listen to the Chief Constable, and I think the police over several years have been doing an excellent job for the Isle of Man.
You've got a minute to sell to your constituents, Daphne Kane.
Well, I'm hoping to get around as many people as I possibly can. I'm resident in the Garth constituency for 20 years. I'm hugely positive about the Isle of Man. It's a wonderful community. It's an amazing place to live. I think that what we need to do is make it even better for the future generations. I think we need to get on top of the debt, the pensions, and we need to work together and listen to the community more to ensure that the Isle of Man has a really bright future.
Thank you very much for popping in today. That's a candidate for Garth, Daphne Kane. Thank you very much indeed.
Keep up to date with the latest House of Keys General Election 2016 coverage on manxradio.com.